The topic I want to talk about is the detection and estimation of change points in the incidence rate of disease. I started this project as a kind of a challenge to try to look at when a change takes place, exactly where does it take place, how does it progress to take place, and am I having a problem with, or just flip by itself? Go to tools. Okay.
Look at view.
Look at view. Okay.
Full screen mode. You should be able to
look for. Is to try to predict changes in the individual population. Health presents a significant challenge for us, especially if the area of application entails looking into how does cancer occur, or how does cervical or breast cancer occur before it happens. And the issue is to try to look at the steps of changes so that one can plan ahead in looking at potential danger before it occurs, and possibly to try to see if there is an intervention or a prevention. So the rationale for this presentation is to develop effective understanding and to detect or take proper steps for intervention, and also to try to demonstrate the use of a detection algorithm that is extremely powerful and useful. And like following the last speaker, Dr. Cohen, when he started with simple, I will try to keep it simple and also try to explain that sometimes simple techniques overcome or take over the complications of extremely powerful, perhaps, more parameters, perhaps, or more computational models. Simplicity sometimes gives you exactly what you want in a relatively short time. Let me highlight the steps that are involved in a given area. Statisticians, unlike engineers, often are challenged by the issue of identification. Engineers often use the word identification to mean estimation. And the problem for statisticians is, first of all, is to identify what the beast look like before you decide what to do with the beast. So identification is much harder because you need to know exactly what mathematical structure or model you're looking at before you start talking about estimation. Estimation is relatively a simple process. So what you see here is this cycle, which you begin with identification, then you go into the, with detection, identification of a model for what you have detected, then try to estimate what are the parameters involved in the model. The next step is to try to test and validate. Did you actually get the right model? And then control. This is cyclic in the sense that where it fails at any given stage, you really have to start all over again and pick a different kind of detection, estimation, and validation. So it's not a one-shot process. Most of the time, we fail to look into the issue because as soon as we are handed with data, we put Mr. Fix-It hat, run a program, and get a model. You end up with a model that does not represent reality in any sense. So with that in mind, I have surveyed some of the literature, and there are various techniques to look into detection. Some of them are non-parametric, and some of them use the Fourier analysis. Other tools, they use the QSUM, as well as bootstrapping. These are, while they are extremely good techniques, they are well published, they have been kind of applied, they have been applied in very limited sets of data, in very limited applications, but they do not have the essence of worthiness as far as detection in real time and extraction of proper regime of the data. So, in finding a mathematical descriptor for the region, we task ourselves to find models, and the model that we want to select has numerous properties such as the parsimony, such as minimum dimension, and so on and so forth. All these kind of terms are needed in model building. But I'm not here to talk about model building. I'm just to set the kind of the theme for the detection algorithm that I'm presenting in this paper. The various models that I used, again, some of these are well known in the literature to many of you, I'm sure, and none of these models are of concern to us, although these are already available in various packages, but you need to do the detection first. And in this theme, when you're talking about the various stages, let me move on into where I want to be. Initially, I started with wanting to do a detection that essentially is simple, fast, can be applied in real time. When a person goes through a scan process, the detection is immediate. And you want to be able, where there is a change taking place. Initially, I wanted to look at tissue data in order to find where the change is taking place at the level of the cell. The algorithm I developed has numerous applications and it's already been used extensively in radar detection. And so I felt this has great application for health-related areas, especially in determining regimes where the cells are experiencing some changes which are leading either to various types of cancer or various kind of diseases. So that's where my emphasis is and was. In determining a change, sometimes you have a signal or a bunch of data points, and that bunch of data points could be the surface of a patient or the cells. The search I wanted to look at is try to see whether there is only one change or several changes taking place. So I don't want to miss out on areas which are appearing somewhere or spotted somewhere within the region. So the algorithm I have developed is to do a search that begins from the beginning of the data set or the scan, and also it searches backward so that it not only finds the leading edge where the change is taking place, but it also identifies the tailing edge for the data. Once you know the beginning, once you know the end, you know that is the region where the change has occurred. Once the change has occurred, the question is this a real change? Or is it just simply some spurious observations that perhaps do not identify a change? The second thing is, once you find a change, is this the only one in that region, or could it be several changes taking place and there are some separations? And this is what I have started with. I have selected a threshold value because I do not have a real data at this point, but the cell data I'm hoping to get from one of the hospitals, I have generated a kind of a long stretch of data, about 16,384 data, 16K, And I decided that, first of all, the data is made up of random, identically distributed data, and somewhere I threw a lot of signal or bunch of data that have a change in them, and try to stress the algorithm in such a way to see if it actually finds where that signal is and if it finds the boundaries. When you try to develop an algorithm, you have to start from A, you know what should happen, and then you try to see if the algorithm actually picks it up and picks it up nicely and in the right spots. So I selected a threshold value, and I have computed from the first few observations, from the beginning of the signal, I have computed the average and then the standard deviation. And then I try to say, okay, iteratively, I'm going to pick the next observation and compare how that next observation compare to the average. If, for instance, the next observation appears to be totally different from what I know within the 95% confidence interval I have, then I try to say, okay, is this a spurious or is it a real? So I keep searching for a few more occurrences until I have established enough occurrences that the change is real, and that's the point where I have to link up or start finding the leading edge. I continue this process for the entire record. I know for sure that I have identified the beginning. Now I go to the end of the record. I start looking backward to try to see where it ends. Continuing this process and trying to also update. When I get a change, I want to make sure that it is a real change. Once I have found the beginning and the end, I want to make sure, is the change, is abrupt change, or is it just kind of like something which is part of the data, but it's not a real change. Once I find the leading and the tailing edge of the signal, I try to, here is an example of a full snapshot, and you can see that this is clearly something which does not belong to the rest of the data. The algorithm, once applied, it highlighted where the change is, precisely exactly when it begins and where it ends. And then the next step says, okay, I want to see what is exactly in front of that change, and can I identify that change at what point it occurs? It occurs exactly at about 600 from the beginning. So I try to look at the signal that I have picked or I have identified. And this is the regime of change, and will show that this is different from what was observed before. And like I said, this is also the indication of where it ends in here. So, having obtained this area of interest, it is at this stage that if you want to go and model the data, you can. If you want to identify a model for it, yes, you can. If you want to build a complex model and talk about the kind of feedback in the model, all of that is there. But really, I'm not interested at this stage. I know now what to do with it. The estimation is not a problem. I found what I'm seeking. And that's where the algorithm power is, in the detection, finding, and extracting. The next stage is to try to see, is really that real change, if I kind of magnify it? And it clearly looks very pretty good that it has picked it at exactly the point that I was expecting it. If I was applying the traditional methods such as bootstrapping, or if I was using QSum, I would not be able to find exactly where the change has occurred. And that is critical, especially in trying to do surgical search for cells that are being contaminated or affected, especially in cancer areas or in some other diseases. I look at the middle, the one I estimated. It seems to me that there is something in there that is content, which is totally different from what I had at the beginning or the end, as it's clearly demonstrated here. So, what are the results here? This algorithm has detected very accurately in this region that I have a change. It is telling me there is only a single change. It is telling me the beginning and the end. When I apply this in real time, and when I mean real time, I mean in a sense that when it was applied in radar situation, the algorithm and the hardware were working side by side. And what the engineer sees on the radar and what he gets from the software, put them side by side in real time. This is a significant accomplishment in terms of the algorithm is fast and is efficient and is accurate. When we look at the statistics of the regimes or the regions that we have identified, it is intriguing because in many ways, although nothing can be said much about the means in the various three regions, but you can see that there is quite a separation in the standard deviation, i.e. or the variance of the first to the second, or the second to the third. And when you look at the last region with the first, they are almost identical. So we know we have extracted correctly, accurately, and fast a region of activity that can be taken to the next step, which is now, once you have a signal, once you have known the region, you can profile it. The profiling is no more than just the model building of that data, and for future use, someone who is looking at incidence rates of disease or scanning can see whether or not that fits what is already known to them. That's basically what I wanted to talk about. And here are some of the results, that the variances of the first and the second, highly significant, and the second with the third, highly significant. And this algorithm holds promise. So my next step is to try to take it into real tissue data, and hopefully that we can implement it where it has more use for public health. Thanks. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Hussain. Are there any questions for our speakers? Well, I have one. Dr. Aik, I'm curious, in your research when you're identifying instruments, do you have any advice for us about how we should go about thinking when we're thinking about identifying instruments? You know, finding those unique variables that are unrelated to the outcome but are instrumental in this treatment selection.
Four people.
Okay, seeing no questions, that concludes our session. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.